Hey, good morning. Good morning. Well, it is a very snowy and cold day, and I have heard through the phone line, the grapevine, the party line, Facebook, no, not really Facebook, texting, so on and so forth. We have a lot of folks that have been very ill, very sick. Some have been hurt. They've got some sore spots or they've got some injuries. The weather is atrocious. This morning I was online and, I was watching my, my app that I have connected to all the other Life 360 pastors. And I found out that all of the Life 360 churches in Springfield are closed today. I considered it, but the roads seem to be okay today. On the way in, the roads seemed to be okay. It reminded me of when I was in North Dakota, and it would snow, and that snow would just kind of, it was so cold that it would just blow right off the road. So, that was always fun. And my son just said that he found his missing train cars. Hey, we're online, buddy. You want to say hi to the world?
Hello.
Hello, world. All right, have a seat, guys. Well, I want to do some worship, and I know that most of us are going to be online doing worship, but if you'll stand with me, we're going to get into some worship this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come together as we are. Those of us who are here, those of us who are at home, I pray for healing on everyone who needs it. Lord, there's so much going around right now. Entire schools are being shut down because of illness. And we have people who are sick, some who have been in emergency room overnight. And I pray, Lord God, that there will be a healing touch in our sphere of in our region. God, we need a touch today. Thank you, Lord. But for right now, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come together and we can worship and thank you for all that you've done. Amen. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. You think, but not alive. All my failures I try to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
But your chains break at weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. It's when you call my name. Out of the darkness, to your glorious day, you call my name, and I ran out of the darkness, to your glorious day.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sun sets free. Oh, is free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you, Jesus, that we have an opportunity to come together and worship you in this place. Everywhere where we are, you are there, God. We thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we can call ourselves children of God, that you love us no matter anything that we have done in our past. There's nothing beyond the forgiveness that you give us, Lord, and we love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, take a few seconds and say hi to the folks that are here.
If it wasn't for you, lost in the dark, then you walked in the room. I came alive when you opened my eyes. I won't go back to the life. The world might be shaken, but I stay in your presence, standing strong. Temple, you're already here. Heaven surrounds me when I call your name. There's nothing that you cannot change, 'cause I got you in the joy, in the pain, in the waiting, in the flood, in the fire, in the breaking. I'm standing on you, so I won't be moved. Yeah, I'll get through, 'cause I got you. Singing, in every sorrow I'll keep on praising. You're always with me, I know. You're never letting me go.
You're never letting me go.
In every season I'll keep on singing. In every sorrow I'll keep on praising.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to go ahead and collect up tithes and offerings if anyone has any. We've got the bucket in the back, or we've got the drop-off thing in the back there as well. You can drop off. If you want to give online, please go to life360.org/giving or /Conway, and then you can click on giving and go there. Or we have the QR code on the screen that you can scan. Alrighty. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for everyone who gives. Lord, we give what you give us. Everything is yours. I pray that we would honor the funds that we are given to steward, that we would honor what you've given us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I've got some prayer for us today. You guys ready to pray? Could you do me a favor? Could you go get him? Yeah. Because we're going to have some fun here in a minute, and I don't want him to miss it. So, I'm going to go over a few things before we pray here. Deliberate discipleship is one of our core values. And this is something I know that really rings in the hearts of folks in our church, is being very deliberate and purposeful about sharing what Jesus has taught us. I find that very interesting that we're hitting this one today, because I'm going to be talking a little bit about the word teach. And so I thought that was very, very good for us to have right now. But deliberate discipleship means that we are going to be very, very purposeful, very, very important. We place this as a very high priority, that we make sure that everyone in this church has an opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is something that happens after you accept Christ, once you've believed in Christ. This is a part of us being able to give the knowledge that Jesus gave us. So we need to be extremely deliberate about that. We have some stuff upcoming here at the church over the next couple of months that's going to reflect that core value for everyone. So just keep your ears and eyes tuned in to see what's coming. We're going to be praying for Pastor Josh and Kenley Higgs over in Hollister, Missouri, for Life 360 Hollister. We're going to be praying for Valerie Goff, who is a wonderful lady who works in human trafficking, in getting that ended. And then we're also going to be praying for Warden Chapel, which is actually pretty interesting for my family, because that's the closest church to our house. It's that one. So if you'll stand with me, we are going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come together today agreeing in prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to be a church of deliberate discipleship. Lord God, I pray that as we grow and as we change as a church, that we can keep focus on coming to know you more, God, not only as a church body, but us personally. Lord God, I pray for Pastor Josh and Kenley Higgs and Life 360 Hollister. I pray for their church, for their ministry, and everything that they're doing there. Help them to be strong and grow. Spirit, fall on them. I pray for Valerie Goff and the ministry that she is doing, bringing people out of such horrible situations. Lord God, I pray for Warden Chapel, our brother church here in the community, preaching the word of God, teaching people what Jesus has taught us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them today in their service. In your name, amen. Have a seat. Hey, a couple announcements. Distribution day is coming up. That is going to be this week, this Thursday, at 11 to 1. Hopefully the snow will be done by then. No, still snowing by then? Bring it on. Is the roads clear? That's true. We have the annual church business meeting. This is going to be coming up next Wednesday. That is going to be right here at Life 360 Church. So everyone who is a member of Life 360 Church Conway needs to be here, because we'll have to take roll here for all the members. If anyone else would like to come and you're not a member, you're more than welcome to come. You just won't be able to vote. That's okay. If you're interested in knowing what's going on in the church, the business of the church, and everything else, it's a great time to come together. I have already printed off the agendas and everything. I love how our central office is always so prepared. So that is good to go. Warriors at the Well, meeting tonight? Weather permitting, right? All right. So weather permitting, they will be meeting tonight here at the church, 7 o'clock. If you don't have the church app, why not have the church app? Especially those of you who are online today, get the church app so you know what's going on. All right. I have one more special announcement before. I have one more special thing for us to do before the kids go. You guys ready for this? How many of you guys love tongue twisters? A tongue twister? Okay. Do you know the woodchuck tongue twister? Okay. I'm going to play a video. And everyone in church today, whether you're here or online, I want you to do this along with our video, okay? You guys ready? All right, here we go.
This song is dedicated to all the lonely woodchucks out there. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck. As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Here we go. Faster.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Yeah.
All right. You got it? You got the song down?
No.
Do you know what we're doing now? All right. One more time. Okay? You guys ready for this? All right. Take a deep breath. No, it's the same thing again. Take a deep breath. We're going to do it again.
This song is dedicated to all the lonely woodchucks out there. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Faster.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Yeah.
All right. Kids, on that note, I will see you guys later. Hey, come on. Let's have the rest of you come up here closer. I feel so lonely. Yeah, you're okay. I'll move up closer too. All right. See, I can move up closer. The pulpit moves. I know. Leah, are you coming back? All right. I wonder if my wife is coming back. No, she comes back. She should be coming back. Her stuff's here. So, all right. We are in our series on New Vision. Okay. What do you think of when I say the word vision?
What you see.
Okay. Sure. So, I wear glasses, right? And the thing is without my glasses, I'm incredibly blind. I mean, very blind. In fact, I had to get an exemption from the military so that I could join the Army because of how bad my eyesight was. Yeah. Anyway, I was in prayer yesterday, and I usually keep a notebook nearby so that whenever a thought comes into my head, because you know how you get a stray thought when you're praying sometimes? So what I have learned to do is when that stray thought comes into my mind is I write it down. That way I don't have to dwell on it. It's written down somewhere that has a better memory than I do. And so I write it down. And it had nothing to do with what I was praying about at all. I mean, it was just this random thought that pops up in my head. And so I wrote it down. But here's the thing, is I wrote this thing down without my glasses on. And the notebook is not exactly like right there because you have to be like this close for me to be able to see well. So I'm writing this thing down. My eyes are, you might as well just have your eyes closed. You can't see, but I'm just writing this thing by feel because I've written enough in my life. You know, I couldn't see the lines on the paper, and it isn't even on lines. It's straight-ish. Anyway, I can show you guys later if you want to. It's still on my notepad. Anyway, it helped me from getting distracted by writing it down. And that's what focus does. And when we focus on the Holy Spirit, it's a really good thing because it's like having our focus in the right place. But I have a question. And this is a physical question. This is a physiological question. This is not super spiritual or anything yet. I'll get to that, I promise. How do you lose your vision? What are some of the genetics, okay? Injury. Well, I looked it up. And so here's some of the top ways. This is the top five ways that you lose your vision. The first one is called refractive errors. So refractive errors is the most common condition, and it occurs when the eye's lens or the cornea cannot properly focus light onto the retina, resulting in blurred or distorted vision. Okay, so your eye's made up of different parts, and in fact, that's actually my problem. I have refractive error, and my lens is actually, instead of it being curved, it's starting to flatten out this way, and so that's why I have the issues that I have. Then we have cataracts, and a cataract is it causes a clouding of the lens of the eye. You see this a lot in like injuries, and like for instance, with like dogs and so on and so forth, they'll have like a cloudy eye. That's a cataract. It's a clouding of the lens of the eye, which is the clear part of your eye, and the eye. It's supposed to help you focus, but it can't do that job because it's basically clouded over. I kind of imagine it's like trying to look through a window that's fogged over. So that's how I imagine that. The next one is diabetic retinopathy. I bet Leah could tell me more about this one. Diabetic retinopathy. It affects people who have diabetes, which is a disease that affects how the body uses glucose or sugar for energy. And so this inability to process the energy, the inability to process the glucose, actually has a negative effect on your eyes and can cause vision loss. So the fourth one here is glaucoma. And glaucoma is usually caused by high pressure from the fluid inside your eye, which causes cloudy vision. Did you know your eyeball is full of goo? Yeah, so your eyeball is full of stuff, and sometimes that stuff becomes too much stuff, and it's like a balloon that starts to fill up too much. And that causes problems with vision. This is the glaucoma test. Those of us who have glasses, this is our least favorite test. Because you either get the puff of air or the doctor's going to go pokey, which that's what I just had done. It was the weirdest. It's the first time I've ever not had the puff test. I know. It was weird. The final one is called age-related macular degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration. And it's caused by changes in the macula, which is the light-sensitive tissue on the back of the eye. And the macula is the part of the eye that gives you clear and sharp vision. So, what people do a lot of times is that the clear and sharp vision is actually mostly problem. The problem is mostly with like words on paper. Like if anything is close, you can get a lot of blurry things that are up close. That's where reading glasses come in for folks that are older. You see older people wearing glasses because they have age-related macular degeneration. It's just part of getting older for some folks. So, today, we are actually, I know I'm talking about the eye, and we just did a tongue twister. So guess what we're going to talk about today? We were just talking about vision. Oh, I'm so sorry, there's more here. So, there's a piece of paper on the back of this church. Did you know that? Right back there. If you turn around and you look right back there, under the clock and to the left, see that piece of paper? It's got that little gold seal on it. On that piece of paper, it says that our church has been an Assemblies of God church since April 11th, 1960. Now, it wasn't Life 360 Church back in 1960. It was First Assembly of God of Conway, which then became Conway Assembly of God, which then became Life 360 Church Conway. Okay? I have paperwork in the office showing that the church was in existence all the way back to March 1949. And I also have some other information that I've gotten from people and I have no paper evidence of it, but that the church dates all the way back to the late 1930s. Our church finds itself at an interesting place right now. We are what's considered a legacy church in our community, but everything about us is brand new within the last 5 years. Everything. And this series on New Vision is all about one thing. It's defining who we are as a church today. The Lord has done a lot of correction within our church, and we've been hurt over the years by some of this correction. COVID, for instance, was a big correction. A lot of people in this church left because it was not safe to be together, or at least we were told that. And then the previous pastor left, and an interim pastor came in, and more people left. And then I came in, and then even more people left. In fact, I don't believe anyone is left from that congregation. They're all gone. I guess they didn't like me. I don't know. It's not about me. But, you know, I've kept up with them, and they've found churches where they have, where they like where they're at, and I'm happy for that. I'm praying for them to grow. Some of them are still in my treasure boxes on my desk for my prayer time. The church looks very different than it did 5 years ago. It looks very different than it did 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 90 years ago. And the church as a whole, and I'm talking about Big C, changes over time. Even the Catholic Church, who claims to be the one true church, has changed since its beginning. So now that I'm the pastor of this church, we do things a little differently. Do you believe Conway is different since 1949? Absolutely. What about 1999? Yeah. What about 2019? Yeah. We're different even since 2019. Part of finding our right vision for our church is avoiding pitfalls in our vision. These things. The lens we use to see our community needs to be adjusted. The blind spots need to be found and taken care of. The disease which saps our energy needs to be removed. The pressure which is taking on more than we can handle, doing good things but not God things, needs to stop. We need to live in the day we are in. We need to be in the place where the people in our community feel like they belong, without having to dig into nostalgia. What I mean by that is this. We could come together every Sunday and be this cute little church, and some people do it, and it's wonderful. Or we can do things differently. And that's what we're called to do as a Life 360 church. We're called to be weird. And weird is hard sometimes. Sometimes weird looks like this, just as we are right now. Me sitting up here talking into a microphone to the few people that are here, and then talking to the people that are online that are listening all over our country, because people all over the country are listening. So that's what this series is about, focusing on what's important. We're halfway through the series, and everyone said, yay! My hope is that we are done, that when we're done, we will have defined our vision, corrected our lenses, and aligned ourselves with the Lord and what he wants us to do in our community. And what I'm talking about is not just like us as the corporate us, but each of us. We need to be clear, sharp, and laser-focused on what God has for us as a church, and you need to be clear, sharp, and laser-focused on what God has for you. Amen? All right, so let's get into today's message. Today's message is about tongue-tamed. See, I'm already tongue-tied. Tongue-tied, tongue-tamed, yes. I don't know about you, but one of my biggest things that takes me off task, one of the biggest things that really upsets me, you ever get upset? Okay, so everyone's in agreement on this. One of the biggest things that gets me upset is bad communication. Oh my gosh, my wife just rolled her eyes. Because I am the king of bad communication sometimes. And that's okay, because we do this all the time, don't we? Sometimes we communicate really, really well and clearly. Sometimes we over-communicate. And then sometimes we just can't speak louder than the fan that's blowing. No experience there. It's been interesting. I've been doing a lot of counseling recently, and every time a couple comes in for counseling, for like marriage counseling, for instance, do you know what I've noticed? Without fail, every couple that has sat down on my couch for counseling, whether it was my old couch or my new one, has had some sort of communication breakdown. You know, we want to say things like money is the problem, like money is why people are falling apart and things. No, it's not money. Money is an object. It can't do anything to you. It's your handling of it that stinks. And it's your inability to communicate with your spouse. It's communication. So that got me thinking. Communication. What was the first thing said by a human? Do you know? The first thing recorded in the Bible said by a human. Any idea? All right. Let me set the scene. God has just made Eve and presented her to Adam. And here is what he said. At last, this is Genesis 2:23. Yeah, of course, the first words out of his mouth, at last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone of my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. That's right, before a woman was created, not a single word had come from a man. That sounds about right. At last! I learned something interesting about Adam and Eve as I was doing a study in this, and I wanted to share this with you. Do you know who named Adam? We take this for granted, don't we? Because we all name our kids. But you have to understand, Adam and Eve didn't have parents. They had God, but they didn't have parents. So who named Adam? See, in our English translation of Scripture, God never calls Adam by his name. Did you know that? Never once did God call him by his name. And there's a reason for that. In the creation story, Adam is not a name. Adam literally means man or humankind. Okay? Who was given the task of naming things? No. Man. Because God called him man. So God called him man, and he said, hey, go name everything. So he gave him that task, and that's what he was created to do. He's in the Garden of Eden. What's your job? Naming the animals. Cool. I think there's a good reason for that, though. You see, the thing is that God had created Adam to be a perfect image of God. So any name you would give to Adam would limit the description of Adam. Let me explain. God in our Bible has so many different names. Do you know why? Because no single name can define God. so many different parts of his character. So in reality, we could replace any instance of the name of Adam with the name of man. For example, in Genesis 2:22, it says, well, we're going to go 2:19 to 20. It says this: "So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all of the birds of the sky. He brought them to Adam, the man, to see what Adam would call them. And Adam, the man, chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him." Why did Adam need a helper? I'd like to point out, he had done this. It was done. He had named every animal. That probably took a while. And he didn't say a word. We can assume he said the names of the... it's not biblically written down. Here's the thing. It's like, so he named all the animals, which means he's met all of the animals. But yet, there's no good companion for him. There's no good helper for him. So think about it. God is what? God in three persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But here is a man made in the image of God, and he is two persons, male and female, in one. Ah, this throws people off every time I say it. There's a Hebrew word used here for right for him, which means parallel to, okay? Just right for him. You see just right for him? That word in Hebrew literally means right for him, or it means parallel to. So what is parallel? Next to, right along with. So when Adam is looking for a companion like God has, because God has Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he doesn't find anything suitable in nature. He's named every animal presented to him and cannot find one suitable. You see, the creation is not a parallel companion for God. And we, who are made in his image, feel the same way about nature. Do you feel parallel with nature? Do you feel parallel? I love my dog, but I will take my wife over my dog any day of the week. Do you believe me about this? Here we go, Genesis 1:27. "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." You see the word them? That's an interesting word in Hebrew. The word is aith, A-Y-T-H, aith is how you pronounce that. Do you know what it means? Let me show you exactly what that means in Hebrew. I'm going to translate this for us. "In his own image, in the image of God, he created him, aith. Male and female, he created them, aith." It's the same word. That's the same word. The word translated into English as him is the same word as them. Do you know why? And this will freak you out a little bit. Do you see it yet? God created man to be male and female. So when God laid man down in Genesis chapter 2, man, better translation actually being mankind, laid down male and female and awoke male only, and a new creation, a female, stood before him. Does that make sense? When God says he literally took female out of man, what does woman mean? From man. So when Scripture says this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. Does that make sense? So why do marriages break down? Why is communication so important? Let's have Jesus explain it. Okay, in John chapter 5, Jesus had just healed a man at the pool of Bethesda, but there was a problem. And it says this, then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. It was against the Sabbath rules to heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. What's equal? Parallel. Equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So the perfect relationship between God the Father and God the Son is that they cannot do anything alone, apart from each other. Jesus can only do what he sees the Father doing. The communication between God the Father and Jesus is perfect. The devil broke our perfect communication between man and woman in the garden. We had perfect communication until sin entered the world. And then there was a separation between man and woman for the very first time. The man even blamed the woman because of what she had done and what the man had allowed her to do. He was right there. He watched it happen. He didn't stop her. But we don't call this story of man and woman, do we? We call this the story of Adam and Eve. So when does Eve get her name? After God presents the punishments for sin, here's what Scripture says. Then the man, Adam, we know that that's the same thing, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. Until the punishment, until the fall, there was no reason to give separation. Eve gets her name. And from this point forward in Scripture, Adam is never again referred to as the man. He's only ever referred to as Adam. The two of them are not only separated from God because of their sin, they are separated from each other. The perfect image of God is shattered in two. Do you know when most communication breaks down in a marriage is when the man and the woman are not parallel in their communication? They don't need to be saying the exact same words, but they need to be in alignment with each other. That's how Jesus presented himself in the gospel. He didn't do it in any grand splendor, like burning bushes or causing Moses to radiate from the presence of God, nor did he present himself in such an amazing way that no one can look upon him and live. Jesus presented himself and the gospel in a parallel way, the same message, but without the radiant glow or sudden death. Communication breakdowns cause damage, and no damage is worse than communication that comes and harms others. Which brings us to our scripture today. I had to fill all of that intro in order to get us to this point. James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12 says this, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all of the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Remember that whole reptiles, fish, naming them thing? I thought that was a cool parallel. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Who's been made in the image of God? Us, right. And so, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh? Does it bubble out both fresh and bitter water? No. Does a fig tree produce olives? No. Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Well, that's true. Does our tongue parallel the message of the gospel? Does your tongue parallel the message of the gospel? And I mean all the time. No, not always. Church, we need to say what matters. How we present ourselves matters. What we teach others through our actions and our speech matters. The media we consume matters. The influence we have on others matters. I found this scripture interesting because it starts off with this statement. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers." The word there is didasko. Should not become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. So what do you see here? What do you interpret this to mean? I know I'm asking a lot of questions today. Pretty forward, right? There's a higher standard for people to be accurate in what they teach. Yeah. And if they're not there, then they shouldn't be teaching, right? I think we had a similar conversation to that earlier today, didn't we? Did you know I was doing this today? I told you it was very interesting that this was coming up this way. So here's the thing. You would think that this word means that only some of us should be teachers to people in the church. But I want to challenge you today. You see that word, the didasko? That word means to teach, meaning one person presenting knowledge to another. Let me show you another place in Scripture where it's used. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach, didasko, these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So what is James getting at? The early church was in desperate need of good teachers who could teach what Jesus taught. Many people were coming to Jesus, but not everyone who came to Jesus was able to teach yet. Think about it. They didn't have a written Bible like we have today. They had to wait for someone who had maturity in the Spirit to come and preach and teach. That's what James is getting at here. He's basically saying, hey, if you guys don't know exactly what you're talking about, stop talking. tame your tongue. Because if you start saying things and it's not accurate, it's not correct, well, that's bad. People could give their testimony, which was powerful, but they couldn't present what Jesus had commanded because they had not learned it yet. The problem in this time is that some people were making it up. They would teach whatever they wanted to because they thought it was good. James is emphasizing here that those who don't know enough to teach should not be teachers yet. It would be pretty irresponsible of me as a pastor to have someone who just came to Jesus come up here and present a sermon to you all, even with the Bible. It would also be irresponsible of me to put someone in a position to teach that I was not certain would be a good teacher. So, what have we learned today? What have we learned today? Speech is important. What is speech? My daughter is in speech and debate, and it's very interesting because my daughter, I love her. She wears T-shirts and jeans, and then she wears shorts around the house, and you know. Never makeup or anything like that around the house or anything. And you know, I do similar things. Like, I wear comfortable things around the house. I'll wear comfortable clothes around the house or whatever I'm doing. When I'm here during the week, I'm usually here in a T-shirt and jeans and just doing my work and whatever I'm doing. But on Sunday morning, I make sure I have a collar on and things like that. Even though I'm still wearing jeans and my shoes, which my wife will get on my case about later. Here's the thing, is when my daughter goes to speech and debate, let's start there. When she goes to a speech and debate tournament, guess what she wears? She doesn't wear shorts. She doesn't wear jeans. She wears nice clothes. Why? Because you can't win unless you present yourself in a proper way. So is her clothing a part of her speech? Did you know that we have this thing called the First Amendment in the United States? And it's been very interesting to see how that's all been shaping up over the last several years of what exactly we define as speech. Did you know that what you wear is speech? I mean, we've always known, like, what we say is speech. Did you know that what you write is speech? Body language is speech. There's a lot of things about you that is speech. How you present yourself, speech. The speed you drive on the interstate, speech. You got that bumper sticker on your back that has the, you know, the old, we used to have like an ichthys fish that was eating the Darwin fish. Speech. Taming your tongue. I want to remind you guys of something. And I want to point this out to you because this is pretty important, I think, to highlight. Who is Jesus talking to in Matthew 28? His disciples. That's an important distinction. Is this people that have just come to Jesus? No. These are people who are disciples. So let me ask you a question. Those of you who are online and those of you who are here, would you consider yourself a disciple? What does a disciple mean? Someone who walks in the path of the master. Someone who learns from the master. So how far do you need to be a Christian to become a disciple? How long, what's the cutoff here?
Once you become a Christian, you're a disciple because you're called to discipleship. And we who are more mature in the faith, our job is to teach what Jesus has taught. What we're not supposed to do is be false. Because there are people in this world that know less than we do. And maybe that's you. Maybe you listening to this right now are one of those folks that knows less. And there's places on the internet you can go to and find out all sorts of stuff about Jesus. And we hear stuff today all the time about what love is and all this other stuff. And there's so many different forms of theology out there and everything else. So what's true? How are we supposed to know what's true? Real simple. Teach to the disciples all the commands that Jesus gave. So do you know them? Do you know the commands that Jesus gave? I'm not asking you if you live it out. I'm asking it, do you know it? Sure. Sure. What about adultery? What did Jesus teach about adultery? Okay. What did Jesus talk about when it came to murder? What did he preach about with taxes? Yeah. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. What did Jesus teach about homosexuality? Yeah, you're all scouring the Gospels in your head, and it's not going to pop up there. It's going to pop up in other places, because here's the thing, is Jesus Christ is the Word. Remember? We hear about that in the book of John, that Jesus is the Word. So what does the Word say? It's an abomination. Okay. So when people in our world come online or whatever it is, and they say, Jesus loves people. And loves all kinds of love. No, it's an abomination. So guess what? These false teachers are going to be judged more strictly. Oh, Lord, I pray for them that will happen. There's a place in Springfield. It's on Battlefield. It's a Unitarian church. I drive by it every once in a while. And man, every time I pray for that place to shut down. There's two places on Battlefield I pray shut down. There's Planned Parenthood and there's the Unitarian Church. Because honestly, I just can't stand murder and lies. I'm going to call it as it is. That's what defines them, though. When you think about that, you don't think about what the other services are that they offer. In fact, they've even stated in their own documentation that the majority of the funds that they get and that they use and the vast majority of services that they offer is abortion. If it wasn't for abortion, they'd shut down. So yeah, I'm praying for them to be shut down, because honestly, you can get the same care at Cox or Jordan Valley. So, church, back to us. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. You need to remember that this is in context. They shouldn't become teachers because they haven't been taught. James is basically saying, look, you shouldn't teach on what you don't know. So, believers, can you go through life and not know and be okay? Is it okay for you to just not learn more about Jesus? Why? Here's why. Real simple. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So if you are a disciple and you meet new disciples and you can only teach what you know, and at the same time you're being commanded to teach, what does that mean? That means you need to learn so that you can teach. Did you know that's what most of my job is? I sit there and learn all the time so that I can come up here and talk with you folks about stuff. I mean, did you know that stuff about, like, Adam and Eve? About the names and all that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? I've read the Bible 100 times, probably. And this is, like, I'd never asked that question before. So what is it that you need to learn so that you can teach? Are you learning? Are you being responsible for your own faith? We have women's ministry Sunday night. I encourage every woman to come. I really want you all to be there because you're getting discipled in there. Marlena is pouring her heart out into this ministry, teaching women what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Leah is doing that in kids' ministry. Rick and Janet do that with their divorce care and with loving on people that come in here for distribution. We have others around the church that are doing a bunch of things in their workplaces or in their homes. But God doesn't want us to stay stagnant. He wants us to learn so that we can teach. That is our responsibility. Don't get stuck with an untamed tongue. Tame your tongue. And that means you got to learn how to ride it. That means you got to learn how to handle it. Because mishandling it is dangerous. Stand with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could come together today, that we could be in your presence today, that we can hear from the word today, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be present in our lives, that we would seek you out through the word, that we would seek you out by the word of your spirit. And Lord God, you are going to present folks to us. People are going to come to us with questions. Are we prepared? Do we know how to find the answers? Lord, I pray that you would help us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us the words when we fall short. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the passion for us to learn more about you so that we can teach the commands that you have given. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that was a quick service, wasn't it? So, hey, I want to tell you guys, on the back table now is a bunch of Bibles. So I want to encourage you, just like we have our distribution stuff here where you can take stuff and give it to folks to start conversations, I want to encourage you to hand out Bibles. If you want to carry something that's less heavy, we have the New Testaments you guys can hand out. We have certain Bibles back there that are actually just for new believers. So if you come across someone and you've helped bring them to Jesus, give them one of those Bibles, because it's really, really great, because it says, hey, start here. And then it's got, like, the plan of how to read it and how to learn how to read the Bible and so on and so forth. It's wonderful for new believers. That's my favorite one back there. We also have large print version and a regular print version of the Bible back there as well. And both of them are New Living Translation, which is what we use here in church. So I want to invite you guys to grab some of those, hand them out, bring some people to Jesus this week, and have a very safe week and stay warm. God bless.